Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Is it just me, or has TV gotten really complicated? I'm either endlessly searching for my favorite shows or subscribing to a dozen different streaming services to make sure I can watch everything I love. And I'm not even saving that much money compared to my old cable bill. Thankfully, Philo has changed all that for me. One service, all the stuff I need. Philo's got current seasons of the shows I can't miss live on networks like Paramount, A&E, MTV, Discovery, and TLC. Classics like The Office, Martin, and Friends that I never get sick of, and all of the incredible originals on AMC Plus, from Mad Men to Orphan Black. Don't forget their library of more than 75,000 movies and shows, all of which I can save and re-watch anytime for a whole year. Never miss a minute of shows like Gypsy Rose, Life After Lockup on Lifetime, Yellowstone, or Fatal Attraction. Best of all, with Philo, you get all this for just $28 a month. No contracts, no hassles. Just one subscription and a world of entertainment. So go to philo.tv and check it out for a free 7-day trial. That's philo.tv to start watching.
I'm Tank Sinatra.
And I'm Investigator Slater.
And together we co-host a podcast called Psychopedia, which is a true crime podcast infused with comedy, making it a crimedy. Each week, Investigator Slater brings us a wild and thoroughly researched true crime case. I'm here to digest it all and react just like you probably are, right there on the other side of the microphone.
Somehow, I've got to present each case with the detail and respect it deserves, while also cracking up at Tank's perfectly timed humor and thought-provoking questions.
Listen to and follow Psychopedia on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Your official station to talk Jets. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app. Download it today.
This is one of the beats on the Kendrick album that I heard, and I was like, sounds offbeat. But then once they started rapping on it, I'm like, ah, I got it now. Keith McPherson on The Fan, Cam to Ham. We are 2 hours down with 3 hours to go. Taking your calls at 888-808-1019. Opened up starting to talk about the Giants and how Giants fans just got to see it through with the losing and the tanking, and that this is all a part of the plan. But plans change. Plans change. And what do I know? What do I know about tanking? I don't coach. I'm not a GM. I'm a fan. I thought they were tanking last year, and they went out there to win some games for morale. They didn't trade Saquon Barkley to keep the locker room together. Now the locker room's a mess. Now, you might even come up with a game plan, compete, and still lose anyway. But that's the thing. So that this thing doesn't completely spiral, they have to compete with the Dallas Cowboys all four quarters. They can't get blown out by the Cowboys. Because then it's going to be like, okay, you've absolutely lost the players. Like, you just heard Malik Nabers talking, and that's, what did I tell you? These rookies are made men. They come into the league knowing who they are. That they were drafted 6th overall for a reason. You unretired a jersey for him. He said, I'm a rookie. I'm supposed to be quiet. No, there is no more of that. There are rookies in this league making an impact, like Jaden Daniels, his LSU teammate, like Bo Nix, who's on Jaden Daniels' heels for rookie of the year. A bunch of other guys like Jared Verse, Bucky Irving. Like, just because you're a rookie, it's not like it was years ago either, where these rookies aren't making any money. I told you, these guys are millionaires in college. So they're not going to be quiet, and they don't have to respect the coach. They don't have to take losing lightly. So let's see what happens with Malik Nabers and the Giants. I think they just have to compete. If you lose the games, you lose the games. But if you lose the games and you get disrespected and you make a mockery of the fans and the owners, and you just look like you don't know what you're doing at all, and it looks like you've lost the locker room. Like, I remember when Steve Nash was coaching the Brooklyn Nets. And we all knew that he was a terrible coach, a first-year coach, didn't belong. But he literally said, I've lost the locker room. Like, they're not listening to me. So once the guys aren't listening to you, then what are you doing there? You can't coach them. You cannot lead these men if they're looking at you like that. And there's already been rumors about how, you know, Shane isn't liked in the locker room. And I think Dable has enough respect because of his football mind, because of his resume, where he's been, you can miss me with the what he did for Josh Allen stuff, because Josh Allen is better without him. But I feel like he's when he came in, and we'll get back to the calls, when he came in, he was the cool coach. He wore Jordans, and he told him to play juicy after the first win. He's into hip-hop, and, you know, maybe he's got to go back to being Fat Dave's. You know, maybe there's something more real about Fat Dable. The skinnier Dable is fake. It's not authentic. Can't get jiggy with that. But no, I do need them to win, though. I need to see them compete, not win. I do need to see them actually go out there and play NFL-caliber football, because this has not been it, and that's how you do lose your job. That's how you get fired. If these guys are going out there and they're getting smoked and they're not tackling and they're not running hard and they're fumbling the ball, Tyrone Tracy, and you have Tommy DeVito now at quarterback who's getting rocked. Like, yeah, he played last year against the Dallas Cowboys. You think he wants to get hit by Micah Parsons again? How's the offensive line doing? We know Andrew Thomas is out and Illuminor went out. Like, I don't know. Let's go to Andrew in Rockland County. What's up, Andrew? You're on the Fan.
Hey, Keith. Thanks for taking my call. I just want to know what you think about trading Malik Nabers to get someone else on your fantasy team now that DeVito's the QB, or there's still enough depth there.
Yeah, I wish I did. I have him on my team, and I thought he was a steal because he just kept dropping. And I'm in a league with a bunch of Giants fans, and they wouldn't touch him. And I mean, not being a Giants fan, I'm like, this guy's the number one receiver in the NFL. And he had some good weeks in the beginning. Then he obviously was concussed, and he hasn't done much since. He was able to get me 10 points last week. I feel like if Drew Locke gets an opportunity, if I'm Drew Locke, I'm throwing him the ball every chance. Even when it's contested, even when he's covered, I'm going to give him a shot. And now that he's spoken up so much, you can bet, you can guarantee he's going to be involved in the game plan right away on Thursday. I think he's going to have a decent day Thursday against the Cowboys secondary. If Trayvon Diggs is out, and like I said, they're playing Josh Butler from the USFL. Deron Bland has been hurt. They moved on from Stephon Gilmore. Like, I think there's a chance that Malik Nabers has a big week Thursday. But if you can trade him for anything, try and trade him. What do you think? I don't know. Who's in your league that's going to trade you anyone or anything for Malik Nabers?
So maybe I could get James Conner. I'm low on running backs. Maybe I could put something else in there.
What did James Conner do last week?
I think he's averaging, he's PPR. He's meant to get 17 points this week. If I need a third flex on my team, I got to get a running back. So
hey, try and send it, man. Try and send that trade and see if anyone in your league is going to bite on it. 888-808-1019. My league is crooked. The guy that's going to win my league, like, they let this guy get, he's the number one team in the league. They let this guy put a team together with Josh Allen, Jahmyr Gibbs, Josh Jacobs, Jamar Chase, Terry McLaurin, George Kittle. In his flex, we have two flex spots. He's got James Cook. He's got Ladd McConkey on his bench. He's got Tua to back up Josh Allen. He's got Jameson Williams to back up any of his receivers. Zach Ertz to back up George Kittle. Like, it's just guaranteed he's going to win. Tyler Lockett and Romo Dunze. His team's stacked. And he didn't draft all those players. He finessed some trades between a lot of guys in the league that aren't going to make the playoffs. Meanwhile, I'm not going to go through my whole team. I have Malik Nabers barely holding on. I think I'm in second place. No, I'm tied for first. Oh, after this week, I'm tied for first with him. But whatever. I'm tied for first. I'm probably going to lose because that team is stacked. But I was able to finesse one move, which I know nobody cares about your fantasy team, but people that play fantasy do care. I was able to trade George Pickens with Russell Wilson coming in. After one game of Russell Wilson, Dak Prescott went down, who was my quarterback. I was able to trade George Pickens and get Baker Mayfield. I needed a quarterback, and I'm like, you got to throw a receiver in there. And they threw in Jalen Waddle before Tua came back. And if you look at the week that Jalen Waddle just had and Baker Mayfield just had and the week that George Pickens just had, Keith McPherson won that trade. Jarvis is in Harlem. Jarvis, you're on the Fan.
Hello?
Hello.
Oh, what's up? What's up, how you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. I want to talk about Jess and about Woody Johnson. I mean, like, he just, the gift that keeps on giving. I mean, the season's over, and so, I don't know what they're gonna do in the offseason. I don't know. They're not gonna sell the team. It's like they're gonna keep.
It's over. Thanks for the call, Jarvis. 888-808-1019. Aaron Rodgers is the song that doesn't end. It just goes on and on, my friends. Some Jets fans started singing it, not knowing what it was. And they will keep on singing it forever just because. I was saying that. I literally put that Lamb Chops Playhouse tune together with Aaron Rodgers before his four snaps last year. You know why? I didn't actually know if he would be a Jet, but as soon as there was rumblings from the darkness retreat, it started. WFAN became Aaron Rodgers Radio 24/7, 365. And I'm like, this is never ending. Oh my! I kept talking about the Packers. I'm like, are you guys not noticing how the Packers want nothing to do with him? You guys don't notice how like they've moved on? I think it was Brian Gutekunst, the GM of the Packers, and there was somebody else. Packers. I think his name was Mark. What is he? Mark Murphy. Mark Murphy was interviewed at a Wisconsin girls high school basketball championship game. And when they got a word from him, he was so dismissive of any Aaron Rodgers anything. We're done. We don't care. No, we've moved on. That's all I needed to know. Aaron Rodgers could go down and most likely will go down as the greatest player in Green Bay Packers history. He's going to go back there and be celebrated. His jersey, I don't know if they retire jerseys, but like he'll be regarded as, you know, multiple-time MVP, Super Bowl-winning quarterback, you know, a steal in the draft, took them to playoffs after playoffs after playoffs every year. He may be regarded as their greatest player of all time, and the way that they sent him packing told you everything you needed to know. But here, we ignored those signs. Here, all we thought was this defense and this offense, we hit on these draft picks, they're a quarterback away from a Super Bowl. Aaron Rodgers makes them Super Bowl contenders. Cue the Hard Knocks. Cue all of the primetime games. Cue all of the Pat McAfee stuff. And look where we are now. 888-808-1019. Let's cue up Pat McAfee because I know last week when I was telling you, believe half of what you see, none of what you hear, I'm like, okay, there's a lot coming out about Aaron Rodgers saying, oh, okay, Woody wanted to bench him. Well, also saying that Aaron Rodgers would want to be released and he'd want to be released this season. He'd want to catch on with another team this year. Well, Aaron Rodgers was on Pat McAfee today and he had something else to say and it was a lot different. So let's run our clips that we have from him going on ESPN Tuesdays with Aaron Rodgers.
As far as my future goes, I haven't told anybody in my life that I want to play in 2025 and not in the Jets. So that's 100% false. I actually said the opposite. You know, I said that I'm going to wait and see what happens at the end of the season. And if they want me back and what happens with Brick and what happens with the offensive staff and obviously the GM at the time. And, you know, then they just fired Joe. There's a lot of things out of my control when it comes to that.
Yeah. See, so you got to read between the lines a little bit, see what happens. And sure, I think that Aaron Rodgers dislikes Diana Russini. I like Diana Russini. I think she's great. Do I know how, you know... how much truth she's kicked out there, I don't exactly know. But I know that I had in my notes from over the weekend that she put out a report saying that it was likely that they were either going to bench him or put him on IR and he would want his release. I guess this is coming off the heels of Daniel Jones. Let's play the next clip. This is coming from that because that's clearly what Rodgers went out there to say, like, that he's answering that, where everybody was saying he wants out, he wants to play in 2025, but not for the Jets, and that the Jets are going to bench him or place him on IR. Play the next one, Paulie.
I'm not talking to people who are talking to people like that. So this is like, at best, it's a third game of telephone with me, and I don't have, you know, I don't have a relationship with reporters who are going to break stories like this.
Yeah, Aaron Rodgers went out to Cal. Big weekend out there, Cal Berkeley football. He went out there over the weekend, bye week. He doesn't talk to people that talk to those type of people. He's not talking to you. He's not talking to Diana Russini. Shout out to my guy, Zach Rosenblatt. Maybe I can get Zach on tomorrow. He's not talking to Zach Rosenblatt. He's not even talking to Adam Schefter. He told Adam Schefter to lose the number.
The one thing I do believe from Rodgers is that I do think his circle is, like, really small. There's leaks everywhere. Listen, Florham Park is like the Titanic right now.
Yeah.
There's leaks everywhere. Well, everyone's backstabbing everybody. This is part of what it is, and this is part of what reporters have to dive through, is like figuring out what's true, what's not true, and kind of going from there.
Aaron Rodgers is a song that doesn't end, but he's not to blame for everything. He was blamed for the Rob Saleh firing, and then we heard about Woody Johnson and everything. It's like, okay, wait a minute. Maybe he was not, like, lying about, like, I didn't know Woody did this. Like,
no, and again, at the bottom line, honestly, dude, is... this was all effed when he messed up his Achilles. That's it. Four plays in. This is when
that was the year to get it done.
No, it wasn't even that was the year to get it done. It was just four plays in. The guy never had a major injury his entire career.
They won that game with Zach Wilson.
I know.
They won some other games last year. Last year would have been the year to pop and get it. I mean, the Chiefs are going to win anyway.
Right.
But, like,
that's the
it ended after those four plays. Yes.
Yeah, this experiment, which is going to go down as a massive failure, clearly, which I was wrong about. I thought the Jets would win 12 or 13 games this year. I was really high on them. It was just four plays in when someone tears their Achilles and they had no backup plan because they just went all in on Aaron Rodgers and the offense and Nate Hackett and everybody else, and they just went all in. They brought Alan Lazard and Randall Cobb, and they just go all in on this guy. And the game kicks off at 8:20, and at 8:35, the season's over. And this experiment that this franchise went all in on, which every single Jet fan wanted. Jet fan didn't want Aaron Rodgers on the team.
You can't make this stuff up. I'll never forget that. Because I had to come to the fan that night because the Yankees were in Boston about to play a doubleheader or something like that against the Red Sox. It got rained out, I guess, the second part of a doubleheader. For some reason, they were supposed to play, and we were supposed to have Yankee coverage that night on the fan. And obviously, the Monday Night Football game wasn't on our airways. And I'm telling you, I'm watching that game, and I think maybe Dave might have hit me, and I was already packed up, ready to go. I knew the weather. I knew the Yankees weren't going to play. And so I was packed up. The game kicked off. I didn't even get to see the play live because I knew I had to get here because I'm like, my show's going to start as soon as I get here. So I'm in the car, and I'm listening to it on the radio, and they're talking about a cart coming out for Rodgers. And what I'm like, no, I'm literally do not adjust your radio. I'm adjusting the radio. Like, what happened between the time that the game kicked off, they ran a play or two, and then I'm downstairs, and now his season's over. I'm like, you cannot. It's only the Jets. You cannot make this up.
Yeah, and that was honestly, that's when this experiment ended. And it's sad.
So he can't be back next year. He can't.
Well, the issue is, I don't think he's going to want to end his career like this.
Yeah, but he can do this. He can go somewhere else.
I don't know what other team is going to want him after this.
The Giants theory is not that crazy. Because, like, let's say Shane and Dable are back. Let's say Shador Sanders gets drafted by the Raiders. Let's say they do win some games here and they end up picking six again. And maybe Shador Sanders and Cam Ward off the board. What do you do with that one pick? You trade. And you try to get more picks, draft some more of your guys, better players. They hit on a few guys in the draft this year. Maybe they can do it again. And you know Giants fans are hoping for Arch Manning in 2026 so Aaron Rodgers can be the bridge to 2026 and you figure out a way to trade up after you have this top pick in this year. Maybe you stockpile some picks from next year. You figure out a way to trade up in 2026 to get Archie Manning out of Texas to be the future quarterback of the New York Giants. Wow. That sounds like a plan.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Day 808-1019. We're halfway through my 5-hour KM to AM. We've talked Giants. We've talked Jets. And I see you guys on the phone that want to talk Juan Soto. When do you not? When do you not? This is going to be a hell of a month, a year into next year with this Juan Soto stuff. No matter how it goes here in New York, it's going to be combative. Somebody's going to be sad. Somebody's going to be happy. Somebody's takes are going to be wrong. It's going to be interesting for us here. This is not Yamamoto. This is not like Yamamoto last year. Keith McPherson on the Fan. Call me up. We'll be right back.
Start some trouble and call the Fan. 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream the NFL on CBS live on Paramount Plus.
Future. All right, Paulie, we got to dip into my beat pack, my beat folder after this. Good drop, though. Keith McPherson on the Fan. Hope your night is going well wherever you are listening to 101.9 FM. Thank you for rocking with me. Thank you for calling. We've had a full rack of calls. I got to get through these calls faster. We're halfway through a 5-hour KM to AM as we get closer to Thanksgiving Eve. I will be on again tomorrow, 7 to 10. So join us then. Join us all day, all night, as we talk through the Jets and the Giants mess and what will become of these GMs and coaches and quarterbacks and teams. We've introduced the conversation with Juan Soto now as far as talking about where he's going to land and how long this is going to take, and now offers coming through and preliminary rounds. And right, they had to get to know each other a couple weeks ago now in California. Now that's done, and you know, now Juan Soto's using his social media platforms to troll dummies and put out Celsius posts. That's fine. What we haven't gotten to yet, which I'm kind of, you know, keeping in the tuck, 10 o'clock, we'll talk to Jonathan Davis. We got to talk about the New Jersey Devils. Obviously, we'll talk about the Rangers and the Isles, but like the Devils' start deserves some conversation on WFAN. And I heard Evan and Tiki do a little bit of it. I heard, you know, Tiki rep the Devils and say his daughter was at the game. And I was like, man, as I was laying in bed last night trying to watch Monday Night Football, watch the Knicks game, and then fell asleep and didn't even finish the Brooklyn Nets game, which, like, a thought that I had, I'm just, since my football season is absolutely cooked, and the Yankee season, I just want to forget and get to pitchers and catchers. As a fan, I'm so delighted and pleased. It's so nice to have winter sports where the Brooklyn Nets were supposed to be tanking and they keep surprising us. They keep winning games. They seem to have a good coach, first-year head coach, finally, and enough players, starters, and bench where they can compete with anyone in the NBA on any given night. And the Devils are approaching wagon status. Like, they're so good right now that I'm like, I'm kind of hoping that they chill out because it is November and this isn't sustainable, but they're on a little bit of a run right now. And last night I was listening to Ken Danico talk about it, like how loud the arena got. Like I could have went to the game, but I've been on heavy daddy duty and it's okay. But I could have went to that game. I was off last night. I could have went to that game. And Danico was talking about how that was the loudest he's heard that place in a while after Timo Meier, who's suspended for a game. If you guys watched the game last night, Timo Meier, he ended up with the high stick and then there was a 5-minute penalty kill, and like the Devils held the Predators to one shot, and this is coming off of the Nico Hischier hat trick in the second period, and it's just like the Devils are wearing their black sweaters with the three stripes that say jersey across the jersey, and everybody's playing well together. Jesper Bratt and Jack Hughes, Dougie Hamilton, good to have Dougie Hamilton back, and Timo and everybody, man, and shout out to Jacob Markstrom, like. Devils fans are pulling up. It was capacity on a Monday night at The Rock, And yeah, we'll talk more about that. I know the Rangers aren't going in the right direction. They're going in the opposite direction. There's talk about them selling, being open for business. Obviously, they've had some tough losses here. It's kind of crazy to think about Chris Kreider last year, as I just talked about a hat trick, Nico Hischier's natural hat trick. To think about where we were, not even last year, it was June, May, and here we are now. And I don't know. There's some stuff to unpack with the Rangers, the Islanders drop again, and we'll definitely talk Devils with Jonathan Davis in the 10 o'clock hour. But everything else is on the table from the Jets, the Giants, Juan Soto, and we'll figure out how to get the Knicks and Nets in the 11 o'clock open mic hour. Keith McPherson on the Fan. Let's get back to your calls. Let's go talk to Moses in Lakewood. Moses, you got it.
Yo, what's up, Keith?
What's up, man? Thanks for holding.
Yo, so I want to make a Juan Soto point and a Devils point. I'm a massive Devils fan, man.
You got to go for it.
Yeah, so Juan Soto. So what's the price that anyone offered? Like, how much are they offering?
We don't know yet, but we expect it to be in the, you know, $750 million range, and that's the thing. Offers are going to come in, and then the bidding is going to go up, and I think they want to have a $700 million deal because they want to have the biggest contract, bigger than Ohtani's deal.
Yeah, so do you honestly think he's going to sign with the Yankees?
I think he can. I think if Hal Steinbrenner is willing to be competitive with Steve Cohen, like he said, and being competitive means you're trying to compete to win. If he matches every, you know, match that Steve Cohen, every offer that Steve Cohen puts up there, ultimately we're going to run out of time where it's going to be on Juan Soto to decide whether he wants to stay with the Yankees or go to the Mets.
Yeah, and my Devils, they're in fire.
Yeah, and it was a cross check, not a high stick. You know, at the end.
You know,
the Devil's been playing tough, man. I mean, Dougie got put on his ass and he came back and lit them up for three. Like, the Devils are not taking no S from anybody. You love to see it. They're tougher. They just have a different vibe about them this year.
They learned from their mistakes in the decade from doing so terrible. So they know they could take the L.
Yeah, I mean, the era of the Devils being terrible is over. They've got so many players,
right.
And now these guys have been playing together long enough. They look right out there. They like I said, they're approaching wagon status. Like every night, they're going out there and doing something to make you say this team is a wagon. I know I was saying that last year about the Rangers as they were ripping off 10 wins in a row.
Yeah, I just hope they cool down because I don't want the Devils getting in
heaven. That's what I'm just saying. I'm watching them. I'm like, yo, do not peak in November, December, and then come crashing down. Like, they got to cool off at some point, and I wouldn't even trip off of that because it's a long season.
Right.
Thanks for the call, man. You. Appreciate it. 888-808-1019. Keeping the Juan Soto conversation going. My guy, Jonathan from Los Angeles, back on the Fan in New York.
What it do, my guy? What it do?
You know, holding it down. I hear your son, Bash. What up? What up, Bash?
Man, this guy's happy, bro. No school, no nothing. I'm with this guy all day, bro.
Hey, holiday. I've been with my son all day, too. From going to Mexico, I was with him all day. And I've been on daddy daycare.
What part of Mexico you went to, my guy?
Benito Juarez. We were in a resort somewhere. Not far from Cancun.
Oh, nice. Yeah. All right. Yeah, nowhere. Yeah, it was cool. Are the underrated spots that are really nice, but not a lot of people go to, like, the Cancun.
Exactly,
and all that.
Man. There was not too many people at the resort. There were a lot of weddings at the resort, but it was cool to just kind of dip out, you know, delete all social media from my phone and disconnect.
That's good, my guy. That's good. Good to know that, bro. Regarding, I heard Yankees talking Juan Soto, bro. I listen to you no matter if it's Jets talk. I mean, I'm a Falcon fan, but I got you on all day, bro, on my truck. I'm a truck driver, so when I'm done from work, I got you blasted. So, but I called in when it's Yankees talk, bro. And I want to ask you, well, Moses stole my thunder right there. I want to see what are your thoughts on do you think the Yankees are really going to sign Soto? But, yeah, you're right. It's up to Hal if he really wants to. And I think he has to, dude, because that's going to look really wrong. If he loses against baby brother Mets, like I said before,
it would look bad for Hal if Hal calls the dogs off, and ultimately there is a bigger contract from Steve Cohen that Hal wasn't willing to match. how we'll get out of jail free on this one if all things are equal and Juan Soto just decides he wants to go to the Mets. Then every Yankee fan will flip the middle finger at Juan Soto and they won't be mad at Hal Steinbrenner and they'll say, go ahead and be a Met. Goodbye. That's what you want, right? If that's what you want, you don't want to be here with Aaron Judge and us, you're an enemy now. You're against us now. You're on the other side of town. Goodbye. We'll act like this year never happened.
Facts, man. Facts, bro. And you know what? I'm not going to fall in love. I mean, don't get me wrong. Juan Soto, I would
too
love
late.
Him. I mean,
too late. Yeah, we already fell in love. We went to the World Series with him this year, bro. Yeah. You'll never get that at-bat against Hunter Gaddis out of your head. I watched that at-bat, no lie, like 50 times. I'm like, this dude is different. And he hit the home run that won that game that sent us to the World Series, ended our drought. I already love Juan Soto and thought he was great. But to see him do it as a Yankee, to see him up close in Yankee Stadium, like, I'm already going to be, you know, I'm going to be salty about it. I'm going to be tight about it. But you know what? It's sports. We move on. I will root against him, and I will hate on him, and I will wish him no luck on the other side.
Oh, man, I just don't want to go through the whole Robinson Cano thing over, man.
Yeah,
but
it's
gonna...
not Cano. It's not Cano. Cano was with us. And you know what? Cano went to Seattle, and he missed home. He's not going to go to Seattle. Juan Soto's going to be right here. So we're going to see him every day.
Yeah.
And I know you're out in Los Angeles. It's a little different. But you know what I'm saying? Like in New York, if he decides to actually set trip, switch sides, go to the other side, I don't know if he's – I mean, he's built for anything. But I don't know if he's really ready for what that's going to be like. Because it's not a guarantee that the Mets go on another magic carpet ride with Grimace and the playoff pumpkin and Glizzy Izzy. And, oh, my God, it's not a guarantee. Now they got the target on their backs. Now the Phillies want payback. Now the Braves are looking at them like, man, we were hurt last year. Like, we're going to humble them. So it's not a guarantee, Juan Soto, that you go join Lindor and those guys. They've got a lot of holes to fill, too. And the Mets are not perennial postseason contenders. It's not every year they go to October and do what they did last year. So if he wants to go over there for 15 years and maybe have 5 or 6 years in the postseason, who knows? The future is untold. The future is undetermined. We don't know.
I just hope he really makes the decision, bro, to stay with the Yankees. Once again, that would be dope, but I'm not going to get my feelings, like, you know.
Be prepared.
Be prepared. But you know, one more thing, bro. Before I leave you, bro, happy Thanksgiving. I'm really glad you had a great time in Mexico, bro. And keep up the great work, bro. I got you on blast all day, every day, my guy. Thank you.
Jonathan Bass, appreciate you guys. Jonathan and Sebastian out in L.A., man, they came to, I think, the ALDS. And shout out to my guy in security that holds down the front of 203. You know, you can't stand on the grass. You can't get up on that grass right in front of Section 203. Some people show up there and act like they've never been there before. They don't know how to act. But, like, 203 has become just so overpopulated and popularized. Like, so much media and media members. And, like, me, I was pulling up there way before anybody cared. Me, I don't even count. But I do count. Like, there was so much going on. And, you know, shout out to people that hit me up. Yo, Keith, yo, can I get a selfie? Of course you can. But, like, the game was starting. We're trying to lock in. And security is coming to grab me for something. And I'm like, yo, what? Like, no disrespect to security. I always show respect to the security. But I'm like, what's going on? I'm good. I'm not bothering anybody. I'm trying to watch the game. And they point out Jonathan and Sebastian, who came all the way from L.A. to the Bronx for the postseason. Man, I was so hyped to see them. It was great meeting y'all. I appreciate the support from across the country. You Yankees fans holding it down in Dodgers territory. I know it's hard to live. But, man, keep rocking those pinstripes. Keep repping that NY logo on your hats. We will be back. We will be back. Charlie's in Queens on the Fan next. Charlie, you ready to go? Charlie, I heard you. Bad connection, Charlie. You missed your shot. 888-808-1019. I'm trying to roll through these calls. Whoever is ready. I know this guy's ready. Bobby's in Belmore on the Fan next. Go for it, Bob.
Aneel, Don Julio, Patron, which one?
Casamigos. Anyway, coming up at 11 o'clock, your Casamigos big shot of the night.
Only sold that. It something happened to the ingredients. It's too strong. It doesn't taste like tequila anymore. Casamigos.
And it does give you a hell of a hangover. The Casamigos hangover. Yeah. I've had to chill. It will punch you in the head.
Yeah, I eat with vitamin water. Still, the ingredients are totally different now. All right, before I get to Soto, quickly, Devils have a goalie now. And yes. I don't know why the Rangers are breaking the team up because they're two games away from the Cup last year. I think something's going on in the locker room. The whole thing doesn't make any
that
sense.
That Jacob Trouba stuff from the offseason. That's
yeah,
one thing.
Get rid of Kreider. I don't understand
that either. You want to talk about breaking up a locker room with Daniel Jones, you get rid of that guy and it's done.
Yeah, he's one of the few guys on the Rangers actually performed in a playoff.
Shesterkin's trying to hold them together, but I don't know.
Did Jack Panera, none of these other guys performed. I don't understand. But let me get to Soto. Things being equal, please, he's not leaving the Yankees. The Mets are going to have to offer, I think, at least $75 million more for him to leave. And Judge is begging Hal because Judge's postseason career average actually came down. It was 211, and he hit 183.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, at night was 2-for-26 between the last legitimate teams in the playoffs, and that was the Astros and the Dodgers until the opener. He was 2-for-26. So I know the opener he got a break and he got a couple of hits, and it would have been swept, I thought, if it wasn't for the opener. But without Soto, Judge, are you going to trust him to carry you? And I don't know.
If I'm Hal and I see the type of dog that Juan Soto was, that gives me even more reason. You don't let dogs like that go. You have an all-world talent in Aaron Judge who can't do it in the postseason the way he does it in a regular season. Juan Soto's the same.
Yeah.
So I'm like, hey, we need more of those guys to potentially carry Judge. I wouldn't let him go. He's already proved it. He proved that the pinstripes are not heavy. He proved that he can handle the media, the spotlight, the fans, all of that. You keep guys like that.
So if Cohen goes over 700 with a 75 more million, because I think that's what's going to take. I don't think it's crazy to talk these numbers, but 40 or 50, I don't think that's going to be enough for him to leave. But if he gets closer to 100 million more, you think Hal's going to match it? I think he will. But
yeah,
I think
and I think for two reasons. Thanks for the call, Bobby. I think Hal knows. He, like he said, I have ears. He had to remind you of his human anatomy. I have ears. Like, I can hear. I know what's expected of me. I think he knows that his father would never, ever, ever let the Mets outbid him for a player that he's going to have to go the next 15 years of his life, 14, let's say, watching. We just went that time in a drought. We just went that time in a World Series drought. Hal Steinbrenner's 54. He's going to live till he's almost 70, accepting the fact that Steve Cohen took Juan Soto from him to be a Met? I don't know. I think that you go toe-to-toe. You go round for round, blow for blow. Hal Steinbrenner's also got the dough. I wouldn't lose. I'd be sitting at the poker table all night. I had some of them nights in Atlantic City. I got enough chips, and I'm not going you can't lose that. It's not worth it to lose it. But what Steve Cohen said, we're going to find out. There is no in-between. It's yes or no. Ultimately, Juan Soto decides. So if Juan Soto, which, like I said, my original take today is, if Juan Soto and Scott Boras are really somewhere in an underground lair, like, we're going to get the most money in the world and the most attention. Which one would be more attention grabbing? It would break New York sports media and baseball if Juan Soto played a year with the Yankees, took him to a World Series, and decides, I'm not impressed with Monument Park. I'm not impressed with the pinstripes. I don't care about a roll call. I don't care about how many Dominicans are up there. I don't care about Aaron Judge batting behind me. I want to raise the apple and get the 7 line to do spirit fingers for me. I'm going to be a Metropolitan.
Your official station to talk Giants. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the Free Odyssey app.
Okay, quickly here. Keith McPherson, your nighttime host on The Fan, KM to AM. Coming up, Jonathan Davis will join us so we can sneak in a little puck talk. Devils, Rangers, maybe a little bit on the aisles. Let me see if I can take a call, maybe two right now. Lawrence in Oklahoma has to tell me how he feels about Tommy DeVito after watching Sunday's game against the Buccaneers.
I was not completely disappointed in Tommy DeVito, like, adjusting to a team that did not show up to play behind him at all.
Okay.
That team did not show up. Tommy didn't make bad decisions, at least. I wanted more from him, obviously. I would have liked more. But, like, man, like, what can a guy do when a whole team decides to, like, not show up and play? I'm so sick of this team pulling up. Half the time they don't even show up. And I think that speaks directly on the coach. And how am I supposed to have any confidence, right, going forward that this coach is going to develop a quarterback and make good decisions and keep the team accountable when he's displayed that he can't do that? Like, a sample size speaks for itself. Like, the ball's got to go, bro.
Yeah. Tommy didn't provide the spark. I think Tommy played okay, but it wasn't like he was able to recognize the blitz, check out a plays, make things happen with, I mean, he had a couple runs. I don't know. I don't think he would have done any better than Daniel Jones would have done. Daniel Jones probably would have done better, but I still think that all of this is because of how the team handled Daniel Jones. They weren't going to do anything. They weren't going to be able to figure that out. So, yeah, you're looking at Brian Daboll now. If he's supposed to be a quarterback whisperer, how come Daniel Jones regressed? How come in year two, Tommy Cutlets isn't really like, I don't know, there's a drop on WFAN where he gets compared to Johnny Manziel? I don't know, man. You tell me, Lawrence.
I think Tommy DeVito didn't have a bad game. I mean, we had a...
He took some hits. He took some hard hits. We can blame the play calling. We can blame the offensive line. But I feel like not enough people are realizing, like as a quarterback, you have to recognize how many men are rushing you. You have to check out of plays. You have to recognize the blitz, get rid of the ball. I don't know if he's at that level of NFL quarterbacking yet. And like, some of that stuff... it doesn't jump out at you, but there's a reason that he's getting hit like that. And you got to blame the center, too. John Jacob Jingleheimer Schmidt, he had a long day with Vita Vea.
Yeah. You know, I would have gotten rolled by Vita Vea, too, though, to be fair. And
what do you weigh? What are you
saying? I'm 6'5", like a 190. I'd gotten trucked. But the thing is, we can lose football games, but you cannot play uninspired football. And, like, you know what? That's just not that's
especially
just
not at home. Especially not at home. Thanks for the call. Lawrence out there in Oklahoma especially can't do that at home. They can't win a game at home. They've been embarrassed at home. What did I say on my rap last week? I said, it's the return of Tommy DeVito. Shout out to all my New Jersey people. The original was cool, but I don't know about the sequel. The Bucks might blow them boys out like the Eagles. 888-808-1019 coming up. Jonathan Davis from VSiN. He's an NHL analyst. He's going to help me answer some questions on the Devils, the Rangers, and the Isles. Keith McPherson on the Fan. We'll be right back.